Hi, everyone. Welcome back to the OrthoBullets podcast. In today's episode, we cover the topic of periosteochondromas found under the pathology section at orthobullets.com. Let's begin with a quick summary. Periosteochondromas are rare, benign, chondrogenic tumors that occur on the surface of long bones, most commonly the proximal humerus. Patients typically present between the ages of 10 and 20 years of age with regional pain secondary to irritation of the overlying tendons. Diagnosis is made with radiographs demonstrating a well-demarcated shallow cortical defect with saucerization of the underlying bone. Treatment is usually observation. Marginal surgical excision of the lesion, including the underlying cortex, is indicated in patients with severe and progressive pain. Now let's get into the episode. Demographically, this occurs in 10 to 20-year-olds typically, and in terms of the anatomic location, these typically present on the surface of long bones underneath the periosteum, in the distal femur, proximal humerus, and the proximal femur. Remember that 59% of these lesions occur in the proximal humerus. They may also present in other locations in the hand, such as in the metacarpals or phalanges. In terms of the presentation, the main symptom is that these are typically painful, secondary to irritation of the tendons. In terms of imaging, radiographic findings will include well-demarcated, shallow cortical defects, punctate mineralization or calcification in a third of these lesions, and saucerization of the underlying bone. Remember that radiographs are important to differentiate from chondrosarcoma, as the histology may be similar. Speaking of histology, this may be similar to enchondroma, except for increased cellularity and more malignant-looking cells, which can look like chondrosarcoma. The specific findings may include bland hyaline cartilage and small chondroid cells in lacunar spaces. In terms of the differential of periosteochondromas, let's highlight other pathologies that have similar characteristics. Other pathologies that present with the surface lesion include osteochondroma or MHE, periosteal osteosarcoma, and periosteal osteosarcoma. Other pathologies that may have similar chondrogenic histology include enchondroma, Ohlierz, and Marfucci's, as well as osteochondroma or MHE and chondrosarcoma. Other pathologies treated with marginal excision include neurolymphoma, nodular fasciitis, epidermal inclusion cysts, and glomus tumor. With regards to treatment, the operative option of choice is marginal excision including the underlying cortex. This is indicated for severe symptoms that are interfering with function. Remember that the lesion will recur if cartilage is left behind and that one must bone graft any large defects. Now that we've discussed the major points relating to periosteochondromas, let's do some flashcards to test your recall. What is the most common anatomic location for these lesions? In terms of the anatomic location, these most typically present on the surface of long bones underneath the periosteum in the distal femur, proximal humerus, and proximal femur. However, remember that 59% of these lesions present in the proximal humerus. What is the indication for marginal excision? Marginal excision, including the underlying cortex, is indicated for severe symptoms interfering with function. Now let's walk through some questions to apply what we've learned and get a sense of how the topic might be tested. For the first question, consider the following clinical scenario. A 10-year-old boy has had wrist pain for the past 3 months. He denies any history of trauma. He reports mild tenderness associated with a palpable mass. A radiograph demonstrates a benign-appearing cortically-based lesion eroding the underlying cortex, producing a saucer-shaped defect. A biopsy demonstrates benign-appearing neoplastic cartilage. What is the most likely diagnosis? And the answer choices are choice 1, chondromyxoid fibroma, choice 2, periosteochondroma, choice 3, surface chondrosarcoma, choice 4, enchondroma, or choice 5, chondroblastoma. The best answer to this question is choice 2, periosteochondroma. The radiograph demonstrates a benign-appearing cortically-based lesion eroding the underlying cortex, producing a saucer-shaped defect typical of a periosteal chondroma. The histology demonstrates benign-appearing neoplastic cartilage. Although enchondroma would have the same histologic appearance, radiographs generally demonstrate a lesion with a central medullary epicenter. The benign-appearing histology does not support chondrosarcoma. Chondromyxoid fibroma will generally demonstrate histologic elements of its fibrous and myxoid components. Chondroblastoma typically demonstrates histologic findings of polyhedral cells separated by a chondroid matrix with pericellular lattice-like chicken wire calcification. For the second question, consider the following clinical scenario. A 19-year-old male presents with 2 months of night pain in the right shoulder. A radiograph demonstrates an eccentric, longitudinally oriented periosteal mass with an outer sclerotic shell of reactive periosteum. Axial CTs demonstrate tumor extension from the underlying cortex. A needle biopsy is performed and histology demonstrates chondroid matrix with multiple chondrocytes in lacunae. What is the most appropriate treatment for this tumor? And the answer choices are: Choice 1, observation with serial radiographs. Choice 2, a radiation treatment course with maximum dosage of 60 grays. Choice 3, marginal excision including the underlying cortex. Choice 4, wide surgical excision. Or choice 5, neoadjuvant chemotherapy, surgical excision, followed by adjuvant chemotherapy. The best answer to this question is choice 3, marginal excision including the underlying cortex. This case is an example of periosteal chondroma, which is a rare benign surface lesion composed of cartilage. It can be similar in appearance and location to malignancies such as periosteal osteosarcoma or periosteal chondrosarcoma, so refining a differential diagnosis is important. The Level 4 review by Lewis et al. Presents a literature review and 10 cases of periosteal chondroma. They reported that all were treated by marginal and intralesional excision and there were no recurrences found. Let's also discuss why the other choices are incorrect. Choice 1. Observation with serial radiographs is reserved for tumors such as osteochondroma or enchondroma. Choice 2. Irradiation treatment is not indicated for periosteal chondroma. Irradiation treatment is used more often as an option for Ewing sarcoma, primary lymphoma, or as an adjuvant to surgical excision of soft tissue sarcomas. Additionally, it should be noted that the stated maximum dosage of 60 grays is relevant as irradiation beyond this would likely lead to soft tissue not healing. Choice 4. Wide surgical excision is reserved for malignancies such as chondrosarcoma, periosteal osteosarcoma, or chordoma. Choice 5. Neoadjuvant chemotherapy, surgical excision, followed by adjuvant chemotherapy is appropriate treatment for intramedullary osteosarcoma, periosteal osteosarcoma, Ewing sarcoma, fibrosarcoma, rhabdomyosarcoma, and dedifferentiated chondrosarcoma. That's all for this review about periosteochondromas. We hope that was helpful. This is the OrthoBullets podcast, a daily audio review session from OrthoBullets, the free learning and collaboration community for orthopedic surgery education. As a reminder, you can follow along with these podcast episodes by reviewing the topics directly on orthobullets.com. You can listen to these episodes on the OrthoBullets website or phone app while reading through the topic. If the OrthoBullets podcast has been valuable to you, we'd be thrilled if you consider leaving us a 5-star rating and writing us a review on Apple Podcasts. It will help us spread the word and increase our discoverability tremendously. Thanks for tuning in. We'll see you all tomorrow, right here on the OrthoBullets podcast.